This is Ozarks at Large, and the votes are still being examined from this 2012 election. To help me go over some of the state results and what this means for the Arkansas legislature is Roby Brock, who, of course, is the editor and publisher of Talk Business and TalkBusiness.net. Roby, did you get any sleep in the overnight hours?
Well, I wouldn't call it a night's sleep, Kyle. I would call it I got a nap last night before this morning. So I think I went to bed about 3:30 and was up at right around 6:30 to begin the media rounds of analysis. And so if I have a deep voice with a frog in it today, you'll know that that's why it is.
Well, we understand, and I appreciate you taking just a few minutes. The big story for the state is that for the first time since Reconstruction, there will be a Republican majority in the Senate, and we know there will not be a Democratic majority, depending on how a few other things work out in the next few hours. But there will not be a Democratic majority in the House, possibly a Republican majority in the House. This is huge. This is a huge shift.
It is, and it's historic, as you mentioned. There's just no doubt in the state Senate that the Republicans are sitting at 21. They have the possibility of getting to 22. There's still one Senate race down in southeast Arkansas, which is Democratic territory. And it looks like they will not pick that one up. It looks like that one should stay in the Democratic fold. But 21 seats is a big reversal from where it was in the state Senate when Democrats had a majority of 20. So we saw, you know, a real pendulum shift in that chamber. And in the House, it's pretty close. I think that Republicans are at least assured of a tie, as you indicated. They've at least got 50, and they will possibly get to 51, which will give them the majority. My intelligence this morning from some sources up in northeast Arkansas indicate that's likely to happen. So at some point today, I think we'll be declaring that there's a Republican majority in the House, too. The interesting thing is I think that the expectation was, and politics is all about expectations at times, that the Republicans would carry some much larger majorities. Even in the state Senate, I think the estimates were 23 or more, and in the state House, there were plenty of Republican strategists talking about getting to 60 pretty easily, and then where it went from there was just anybody's guess. So to have those margins not quite as supersized as I think that they were expecting was a little bit of a surprise last night. It certainly caused some consternation and worry for Republicans late into the evening on the House races.
What does this mean for Governor Beebe's plan for expanded Medicaid?
Well, I think that the Medicaid expansion was in totality was probably a little bit burdened no matter what the outcome of the elections were going to be. It takes a supermajority of votes of 75% in both chambers to get that passed. It was real clear for a while that neither chamber was going to go Republican or Democrat by 75% margin. So I still think Medicaid expansion in some form is alive. I don't think it's dead. I think that there are Republicans that understand that that money does have some benefit, particularly to rural communities where hospitals and healthcare organizations are not only a place for those types of services, but they're a big economic engine in a lot of communities, particularly in rural Arkansas. And that money is going to be out there that really doesn't have the strings attached to it. So I think that the trade-off that they may negotiate on Medicaid, what we'll see some talks about, will be making it a much more stringent process to read out the proverbial waste, fraud, and abuse to give Republicans some cover and some encouragement that they're going to be pretty strict about who qualifies for Medicaid eligibility and that they're not letting anybody in that shouldn't be. And you may see the purse strings loosen up a little bit with those types of reforms. The key will be, can Beebe and the Republicans in the House now and the Senate, can they agree on those terms? And that's kind of an art of negotiation we may watch.
Does this shift in, be it a slim majority in the Senate and possibly a slim one in the House, does this affect how you think other issues might be treated or brought up in the legislature? I'm thinking maybe voter ID laws or battle over reduction of taxes.
I still think that Republicans will have a couple of core issues that they will push through and push for pretty strongly knowing that they can get party line votes on. And the ones you just mentioned, taxes, voter ID law, tax cuts and voter ID laws, those may be two that they really toe the line on some of that. But not getting 60 or more, not getting 23 or more in the Senate, 60 or more in the House, I do think that that kind of does say we didn't give you a mandate to dominate the political agenda. And so I do think that we have what I've called a divided dome at the state capitol. You've got the executive branch of government is under Democratic control, and the legislative branch of government is likely to be under Republican control, and it is going to require some compromise, and the margins are so small, and there are a cadre of Republicans that have always worked across party lines, and there are some Democrats that have worked across party lines, and I think you will see a little bit of bipartisanship on some big issues and help some consensus be formed. The state needs it in terms of kind of healing, and I think that there's some sentiment there to do that.
Looking at the issues that were on the ballot, no surprises. The highway issue, number one, sales tax toward highways, although it polled poorly early, an advertising campaign came on, it passed. That complicated issue two failed, and while medical marijuana failed, it was a close one.
Yeah, and I think you'll see medical marijuana come back in the next election cycle, and if it doesn't pass then, it may come back in the cycle after that even. And here's what I think's at work. It only lost 52% to 48%, which is a very narrow margin. And, I think that some of the advertising that they did could have been stronger in terms of its the compelling nature of it. I think it could have been more emotional to connect with some voters. I think that when they look at the breakdown of where they did well and where they did poorly, I think that they'll see some opportunities to try to improve their numbers in those areas. And I think they may come at it with more time to do, you know, quote-unquote public education on their issue for the next 2 years. And they'll certainly get some support from national organizations that support medical marijuana in this effort. And when you look at the demographics of the polling that we've done on medical marijuana, what you see is that older voters are overwhelmingly opposed to medical marijuana, but younger voters are very receptive to it. And quite frankly, it's kind of the Darwin's theory here. The older voters are going to die out over the next couple of election cycles, and younger voters are going to move into their place. And so I think if you work with those demographics, if you're a supporter of medical marijuana, you see we got very close this past time. We have an opportunity to move those numbers in the next election cycle, and if not, we have the chance to get it maybe in the cycle after that. And that's what's been the case in some of these other states. For the opponents of medical marijuana, they're going to have to get more organized on the money front to combat this. They did a very excellent job of earned media in this last election cycle. They got a lot of headlines in newspaper, radio, and television, interviews with the opposition groups that they rolled out. The media is not going to be as receptive to that in the next election cycle because it's not going to be new news that a group of doctors or a law enforcement group or the state's drug czar opposes medical marijuana. We're going to know that already. So they're not going to have as much free media as they had this past time around, and that's going to make their message difficult to get out there if they don't have money behind them to run a campaign that says, here's why this is not good public policy.
Finally, anything else from the 2012 election that you think will stay with us or is interesting?
Well, I do think that I really think that if the Republicans had won by much larger margins, particularly in the House, I think that you would have had to take a step back and look at this election as Arkansas really going through a huge paradigm shift in terms of its politics. I think if you're an Arkansas Democrat today, it's almost a moral victory. You didn't get your clock cleaned, and you were expecting to get your clock cleaned. And that was the sentiment from a lot of Democratic strategists and politicos that I talked to. They were very discouraged. And I think they're going to be, again, in a moral victory sort of way, kind of heartened by what they saw. They won some races that they shouldn't have won. They lost one or two that they probably were counting on, which is going to make a difference in the House, but they were much more competitive with really very few cards working in their favor. I mean, they had the anti-Obama sentiment working against them, and just this trend of Republicanism in the South and in Arkansas, and they still almost pulled it off. I mean, they're going to be pretty encouraged in 2014 that all hope is not lost, and Republicans, I think, are going to have to be pretty strategic about how to govern with these new majorities that it looks like they'll have and find a way to build on their success this election cycle and say, we should continue to receive your support and give us more to work with. And so I think it's going to be fascinating for 2014. It was not the decimation that I was expecting Republicans to inflict on Democrats. So I think that even though Democrats lost these chambers, I think that they're going to be pretty encouraged by what they saw, that they can be competitive if they're smart about their candidates and their strategies in 2014.
Much more analysis today and in the days and weeks to come can be found at talkbusiness.net. Roby Brock is the editor and publisher of that. Roby, thank you very much.
Great to be with you, Kyle.
For political junkies, this is Christmas morning. Results to unwrap, demographics to deconstruct, surprises to savor. I'm Neil Conan. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us at the end of the road to 270. What happened? Where? Who voted and why? And what comes next? Join us for a post-election edition of The Political Junkie, next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Talk of the Nation this afternoon at 1 on KUAF 91.3 FM.